And welcome to another episode of Facey and the Jude.
Yeah, yeah!
Sorry, did you get the memo? We're renaming the show.
Oh, man. You know, she's better looking than I am and probably wears tanks better, too. So, I'm fine with it. It's been a really fun ride, man. Thank you for letting me go on this with you. I'm excited to see how you and Jude take this in the future.
It has been fun. She just, you know, she really nails her transitions a lot better than you do, so we just had to upgrade.
All right. I totally respect it.
Nah, I'm just fucking with you. Welcome to another episode of Pasting in the Jam.
Yeah, yeah.
What we got for the tank of the week, Benny B?
My friend, we got, I'm sure we've done this before, but we've got the Jimmy Buckets Miami Heat jersey, baby. You know why. Jimmy Buckets, Tua Tagovailoa. Good things happen when me and Hennessy root for Miami together. And it's so true this week. This one shout out to South Beach, shout out to Hennessy, shout out to just fins to the left, fins to the right, making it rain all over this. Squirrels are back, baby!
Big week for the squirrels. We'll get into that later. First, let's get into the weekly recap of this week's games. Take a little second. It's good to be back, Jim. It's fucking good to be back.
It's incredible to see you here. I'm so happy that we're doing this. Yeah, great to be here and back with you. All right, recap. This week one is brought to you by Gilbert Arenas, Swaggy P, and Russell Westbrook. My friend, what do they have in common? That's right, all number zero. We had a bunch of zeros this week. When I was going through it, going through our scoreboard, it looked like almost every team had somebody score less than 1 point on their team. And then I was listening to some actual podcasts about fantasy football, and apparently this was the lowest scoring week one in NFL history in the last 25 years or something. So I would say our analysis is getting better. Just based on us providing the same content that actual other fantasy football podcasts are providing you. So we're going to get down to what you guys actually came for, and that is our matchups. Matchup number one, Dempsey taking down Symes, the hairiest man in the league, snuck by the fastest man in the lowest scoring matchup of the week. Fitting that Trevor Sunshine Lawrence led the Thralls with 17 points. That man's D is always S'd to perfection. The rest of that furry little lineup left something to be desired, though. Debo Shampool and Joe Mixon Conditioner came through with 8.8 points each, but the always handsome Justin Tucker came in with 5. It's all right. You know, he's still pretty. Like I said, not an incredible matchup, but on the other side of the ball, Slow Burrow managed 3 points, and Tortoise Higbee and Chris Slothwin couldn't find the end zone. And Symes' highest scorer was the Jags defense, arguably the fastest animal on that squad, so that makes sense. Getting down to it, Durotter Thrall, 73.34, what would be my rad name, 69.38. And I said, Dempsey's the hairiest man in the league. Do you think that's true? I was going back and forth, Dempsey, Favretto, Bino, me sometimes, but I think Dempsey's the proudest to be the hairiest, so that's why I put him at the top.
I feel like we have to let Dempsey have that one. Favretto might be putting up a fight there. He's pretty hairy, isn't he?
He is.
It's probably Dempsey, though. A couple high-scoring Ds. We almost got rid of defenses. Maybe we'll table that for next year again. And the low-scoring week in general with all the zeros and whatnot, do we think we need to bring back preseason?
Oh, yeah, probably. Just make these guys play more and more games.
Like I think we zag. I think we need more preseason games. These games sucked last week. Everyone looked like shit. Yeah.
Start the preseason late July. Go through, good whole month in. Everybody plays, even the big man. Right, Robert Saleh? Yeah.
All right, Johnny with a big week one win over Pat.
Huge week one win. One of two games this week that didn't have at least one starter score at less than 1 point. Like I was saying, the zero thing. Johnny's team, looking to Dalvin, is now looking to Madison or Jefferson or Eckler or Henry or Wilson. Honestly, Johnny Draft Day has a stable of athletes in that lineup. Even you, Dak? Boom. It doesn't matter who leads that squad. You know Johnny GM is going to be in contention for top scorer. The one-man moving crew bowled through Pat's team like it was, well, butt cheese. The Brown on Pat's team was his only chocolate starfish, with Deshaun forcing his way to 20 points and letting his chub do the hard work with another 14. But Pat couldn't avoid that bunghole beating, and looking to Dalvin got 98.32 and the butt cheese gaggle squeeze at 79.66.
applause for bunghole beating.
Thank you.
That's my only feedback on that one.
You're not touching the Deshaun forcing his way with his chub. Okay, good.
I have a daughter now.
Oh, yeah, good point. You're right. Oh, man, we got to tone this down a lot. Next matchup, moving on quickly. Strat over Jime. Jime and the Herbert brothers, Justin and Khalil, that is, couldn't quite get it done for the Penetrators this week. Stupid-ass Jime was having a pretty good week, looking back at his lineup. But then you get hit with the double goose egg from T. Higgins and Dallas Goedert. Two preseason highly rated draft picks in terms of ADP, which I forget was the average draft position. That's what that means. They came in like a salami jam breakfast, though. Two donuts. That originally said race car breakfast, but I didn't want to throw him there at first week.
But anyway, now you just did.
But now I just did. Race, I love you. You're beautiful and handsome. Jime spent $52 for zero action this week out of those two guys, which I think that's how OnlyFans works. Oh. Otherwise, Strat had a pretty decent week with Diggs, D-Hop, Devontae, and the Saints D all passed. But DeAndre Swift got a legit D, racking up 0.8 points and 3 yards behind that best O-line in football. Sorry, Eagles. The Eagles kicker was Strat's highest scorer until Monday night, and when Diggs caught 10 balls for 100 yards and a touchdown. Stree's nuts, 100.4. Penetration potion, 88.92.
Smirky time, Jime.
Smirky time, Jime.
A quick aside. I could see you doing OnlyFans, but where like you don't show your face, but you just like stand there and flex and do weird stuff for like $3 a week.
Yep. Huh. No more, though. Like, $3 is the absolute limit on that. That
yeah, like, you don't even bring Jen in. It's just you.
Yep.
All right. Favretto over the newly formed Stad and Ty collaborative. What's their team name called? I don't even know.
Cup of Nonsense.
Cup of Nonsense. Okay, that's pretty PG compared to most years. But
well, the logo is still the same. So the picture is still the human being covered in what looks like cow semen.
Yes.
Cowering in the cum cave. Yes. All right, so Favretto literally could have just started Tyreek Hill and the Cowboys defense this week and still won this matchup. Our resident Zaddy showed his stripes and put the hurt on the newest U-Honk We Drink Dynasty, the Cup of Nonsense. Tyreek did the stanky leg in L.A. and lit up the Chargers for 39 points. And we all saw that Sunday night football joke of a game. Those Cowboys got to play apparently the Washington Generals in New York this week. And Micah Parsons absolutely cannot be stopped. That defense could actually win a championship, dude. I mean, a fantasy championship. But meanwhile, Kadarius Toney and Chigozim Okonkwo combined for 12 syllables in their names. You know what else they combined for this week? 0 points. That was a stretch. But whatever. Without Fabi's 35-point explosion, this would have been a huge week for Kicked in the D. Stad and Ty got 11 out of Philly's defense. But we're out on that this year. That's right. So instead of Kicked in the D, 2023 brings you Race Tie Stad for three! Which means week by week, we're going to be keeping track of kicker points every week. This week, Favretto's kicker got 8. Stad and Tie's kicker got 3. Are we going to get rid of them? Who knows? We'll probably table it until Fav actually gets puss cut and we can rat tie fry something else. Honestly, what is the point? 126.78. Cup of Nonsense, 64.76.
Is that also a double up douchebag alert?
Oh, it's double. It is. It is. Sound the alarms. Double up douchebag.
Double up douchebag of the week, of the year,
of the week, of the season. All right. Next, we got AG over Griff. The Carpies, who started off coastal, started off hot, rocking that Sailor Circle and a Montauk tan, and the Jets D to a near comeback. Patrick Mahomes left out to a quick 20 points, even without Beano's boy Travis Kelce.
Time out. It was not a double up douchebag. I can't do math. Tyler Stad, I am so sorry.
You guys didn't get double up douchebags.
False alarm.
You got beat by 64 less than
times,
64.
Is 64 times 2 is 128, not 122, Andy.
Oh, it's so close. Did you just have to do that on your computer, like calculator app on your computer?
I sure did.
glad we got that, though.
All right. Sorry. Back to the AG over Griff.
Griff. Yeah, that's right. He was also thwarted by Agent Zero Week. There's no Falcons in London, and there's no points for Drake either. Sky Moore tries 0.4. Two starters, 0 points. There's just no stopping AG this week, though. He pulled out a 50-point victory. And a lot of credit goes to that Pittsburgh team. That suck fest of a team that led up 29 points to Brandon Ayuk and 14 points to San Francisco's D. Proving Hennessy's right is always tough, but Aaron Jones truck-sticked the Bears to the tune of 26 points. And Jalen wasn't hurting either with another 12. Of the two people related to this pod with torn Achilles tendons, AG's the one with the belt this week. Papa Krebs, Cobden Clobbers, 126.8. The Flopping Carpies, 79.54.
AG was here on last Sunday to watch football. And one of the first things he said was, man, after woke up on Labor Day Monday, I looked at my team and I'm like, what the hell did I do? I have the most mediocre team ever. And I was like, Alex, that's always your strategy and you always win. And then look at this, 127 points.
127, almost the highest scorer. And speaking of waking up Labor Day Monday and asking what the hell my team is, you know what we're up to. You know we're up to the high score of the week. You know who it is.
Monday!
Calling in the Code Red! You're goddamn right I ordered the Code Red! I've never had Christian McCaffrey on my team before, and it is fun. As much as Hennessy was pissed, it was a great time on Sunday. He's reliable, he's good-looking, and just happy every time he scores. He wasn't even our highest scorer, though. That honor went to that handsome QB on the Fins to the left, Fins to the right. That's probably going to be the last Jimmy Buffett reference I make on the pod, but I will not promise that. Rest in peace. I love you, Jimmy. Tua Tagovailoa. Good things just happen when we both cheer for Miami, as I said in the intro. And honestly, there must have been a ghost poop in Dallas because there was no shortage of TP. Tony Pollard, that is. He rumbled his way into the end zone for another 21 points. The Sun God and Olave cash in for 31 between the two of them. And even little David Montgomery was in that win column for the Lions. I can't wait, honestly, to do an entire recap of what the Gen commandments actually are. But that's not today. Excellent use of parentheses. But at the end of the day, Bino did get double up douchebagged. Doopy, 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 doopy. Check the math.
Yep, that one checks out.
Nice. Fucking nailed it. Bijan Robinson, living up to his preseason hype. And depending on your take, Justin Fields also lived up to his preseason hype. He didn't have a very good game. No. It's fitting that the Commanders D was Bino's third highest scorer. The Washington Commanders, that is. Do you know what the third commandment is? It's actually perfect. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. For Bino, whose kid on the regular does that already when he's imitating his dad just throwing papers. Fuck, shit, yep. Blind Squirrels, 138.54. Jen, Commandments, 59.84.
What an opening week win for the Squirrels. Do we want to do this now? What happened during the draft? Or do you have that saved for later anywhere? Or should we do it now?
The draft? No, that's Hennessy should be the one to do it.
We're going to do that later. Okay.
That. Yes.
You're right. We'll do that with Hennessy later.
yep. Because there's points of the draft I don't really remember going on. And then, like, definitely woke up and was like, Jerry Jeudy, the fuck? What are we doing with this? The three quarterbacks, no idea what I was thinking. But hey, we turned one of them into Zay Jones and then and Tua.
We'll get into that later when Michael Hennessy joins us for the podcast. Thanks for wrapping up the week, Jam. Good luck, everybody, on your matchups this week. We'll be back next week with something a little more customized. With that, we're not going to get into the lucky listener of the week because, you know, we thought about it and really we're all lucky listeners to just be able to do this together and just, you know, be here. And we're all winners, so there's no need to hold any sort of, I don't know. It's honestly just not worth doing, really. So we're cutting that out. We're going to get right into Shit Happens.
We drink.
All right, Jam. Shit Happens. We drink. Busy summer.
Busy summer for the whole league, dude. We had 4 babies born this year? Lil Jude, Giant Remy, Dino, Cam. That's obviously a record for babies born in 1 year for any sort of friend group, I would assume, that isn't made up of just girls that went to Bethel.
I think just in general, it's probably a record for babies born in a year.
Just period. Stop there.
It's got to be.
I mean, how could... There's no way you could get any more than four. It's simply impossible.
We welcome four babies to the league. Stad, our boy Stad, newest member of the league, got engaged. Sam. Woo-hoo! Race car got married. That was a fun wedding. Do you remember talking to the bartender guy that night? So it was a Sunday night.
And yep, Jeremy, sure was.
Jeremy goes up to the bartender and he's like, "You got to come on the miniseries podcast that we're going to make called The Ghost Poop at River West," which is a miniseries we're going to do about the ghost poop at River West. And this guy literally was so into the idea that he gave us his business card and he's like, "Just call me up." He had nothing to do with it.
No, not even close. Because that's still a good idea, though, because we're going to do a true crime-esque podcast series about who did the ghost poop at River West. We all know who did it, but it's just how we get to it is going to be the adventure.
And last but not least, to cap off a fucking busy summer, the Uonk We Drink Fantasy Football League draft at Jammer's House, in which Nick Rubino himself came and visited us for. It was great to have Bino there. I was really enjoying the whole time watching him and John go back and forth.
The newest rivalry!
Yeah, Bino kept poking John, and I was like, that's probably not the guy you want to mess with. John's, pretty strong guy.
One-man wrecking crew.
I was happy that didn't result in anything.
Right.
How was that Monday? Did you continue the party on Monday? After I left early, but
like wildly unnecessary, most wildly unnecessary party day that we did because we'd been drinking all weekend. And those guys started to burn on Sunday, and then we tried to walk to Park Tav, which was closed when we walked by it. I've never seen Park Tav closed ever. So then we just Labor Day Monday, yeah. Huh. So then we just continued walking to the block. Terrible service. Tyler left a scathing Yelp review, told them to email me. I expect to get all of my money back. weirdly, it didn't happen. And then we spent the rest of the day drinking beers and pulling tabs at Park Tav, like the Lord intended.
That's great. Bino made his flight.
Bino made his flight, thank goodness. And it was awesome to have. It's always great to have Bino on a... I don't know, just guys, awesome weekend.
Absolutely. It's great to see you, Bino. Hope you come up next year. Let's make this an annual thing. We got to get Jaime up here in Favreau to join in next year as well.
Yeah, dude. Just like the good old days when Hohenstein went to the ER.
All right, shit happens. We drank you into Montauk this summer.
Montauk. We didn't get the lovers in there for two. We couldn't find it. Spent a lot of good time out there. Griffin Gratch came with me and Jay. And also my dad was there the whole time with us. So he gave us a nice little tour of the lighthouse. Spent awesome beach time. Good time in the city too. Like, you know, Montauk, it's the best. It's paradise. Never a bad day there. Except.
No. Well.
What?
Were there a bunch of broads looking to get dicked on down at the Sloppy Tuna or what?
Bro, the Sloppy Tuna is no more.
What?
Yeah, the Sloppy Tuna got replaced by something called Bounce. And they specialize in bottle service and Instagram models being there. They have like an Instagram wall that just, when we were there, these girls just rotated in, taking pictures of each other with, and like it's a place where you're supposed to go and get bottle service and see and be seen. So RIP to the tuna.
Shut down for like sexual assault or something? Took the Delta Upsilon exit out?
Yeah, I think so.
Got it.
Yep, like peace, we out. We're just gonna brush all this under the rug.
RIP tuna.
RIP to the tuna.
Oh, anyway, but
one of the funniest things for me anyway that happened when we were there, I was boogie boarding because we didn't want to bring the surfboard to the beach. It's just like a process. We didn't have a big enough car or anything, so I'm boogie boarding, riding waves in, and Griff and I are out there. He's body surfing and stuff, and I'm like, this is sweet, you gotta try this, you gotta boogie board, this is sweet. So just like put your hand up on the top and paddle with your other hand. And so so he gets out there. There's like two wave breaks, and we're kind of out past the first one a little bit, so we can ride big ones. And so I take a wave in, and then swim back out, and I see Griff just like swimming back and forth parallel to the beach, like not making any progress or doing anything. He's smiling a little bit too hard. Like I know something's wrong and he's trying to make up for it, but I didn't say anything, like kind of an asshole. So I took another wave in, and as I'm riding it in, I hear tweet tweet, which is the lifeguard signal for I'm going to go make a rescue. So I'm riding this wave in, and the lifeguard puts on the rope because it's an ocean, and so they have to have two people saving someone. Sure. So one person is the anchor on the beach, one person has the rope around them. Yep. This lifeguard starts swimming out to where we are, and she gets about 5 feet from me. I'm like, oh no, are you here for him? And she's like, yeah. I was like, Griff, stand up. And so he just takes two more strokes in, stands up, and totally fine. But they thought he couldn't get in because of the riptide, and he was just swimming back and forth.
That's fucking hilarious.
And apparently, Jen heard that whistle too, and goes to Gretch, oh shit, that's definitely them.
So, at first I thought you're going to say he was actually, like, you know, caught in a riptide and drowning or something. This sounds bad, but the idea of Griff drowning sounds so funny to me because it's like, dude, you're 7 feet tall. Just stand up.
Just stand up. Yeah.
What are you doing? Just stand.
That's exactly what happened.
It's even funnier, though, that he was absolutely fine and they just thought he was drowning.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It was a great trip, though, overall. Like, that was one hilariously down bright spot.
All right, let's see. I'll try to have one, you know, short, quick parrot corner story each week. I can't remember if I told you this or not, but the grossest thing that's happened so far is,
yes,
Jude was eating one day, and you know, Jackie was breastfeeding her, and then I don't know, she needed to like burp or something, so I took Jude for a second and tried to burp her and whatnot, and then she was kind of being fussy, and so I picked her up and I had her like face to face with me as I'm standing there, and yeah. I was like, what's wrong, Jude? You know, oh, you just love being entertained, don't you? And then I go, you know, someday you're going to have to entertain yourself. And I shit you not, as soon as I said that, she barfed in my face. And not only, though, in my face, but it went into my mouth.
Because no.
I was face to face with her, like right close to her. So she threw up warm, regurgitated breast milk. Jackie's breast milk right into my mouth, and I was sitting there with like a pool of it in my mouth.
Oh,
and
no.
Jackie's like on the floor dying laughing, and I was laughing myself because I was like, oh my god, this fire is disgusting, and it was like leaking out, you know. And I mean I don't know if you know, but like when they swallow it and it's like warm, it starts to like curdle, and so it's just like fuck. It was
gross.
It was so gross. I definitely earned that one. It was just hilarious that I said, like, you know, someday you're gonna have to learn to entertain yourself, and then bloop. So that was pretty funny from Jude. anyway, I don't have anything else for Shit Happens We Drink. Do you?
No, I think. We came in hot with those two, though. I like where we're starting.
Well, speaking of liking where they're starting, the Squirrels off to a scorching hot start in the league. We'll be right back with the other captain of the squad, Michael Hennessy.
All right. His name is Michael Springsteen Wallace Maximus the Hennessy, commander of the Squirrels of the Blind, General of the Battle Rappers, loyal servant to the one true emperor, Captain Morgan, father to two incredible children, husband to a beautiful wife, and he has had his vengeance this week and the season. Come on, Mikey!
Bundle! Let's go!
Come on, let's go.
What's the drink? Are you drinking a little Emperor or Captain Morgan right now?
No, Jack Daniels today.
Oh, the fancy stuff.
Yeah, you know, really, really pulling out all the stops for you boys.
Are they the same tier? I don't even know.
Jack's more expensive, but I don't know.
Yeah, it comes in a square bottle, so who knows?
But you can't put it in every single drink, known to man, like you can Captain Morgan, so it's at a disadvantage.
Literally, just throw anything with Captain and it'll go down.
Delightful.
Well, fuck, Hanno, it's great to see you. Congratulations, Squirrels. Fucking popped off, you know, started the season. 138.54 points. Everyone's dying to know. You got to take us through. We just need, like, the whole draft day experience here. I want to know where you were, why you weren't with us. We need, like, the backstory, what you were thinking, how you were somehow in the chat room, even though you were busy, what your thoughts were. Walk us through it.
Well, so we can't take it to draft day. We got to take it to draft planning. You know, me and Benny, our planning sessions usually consist of a 20-minute walkthrough for draft day. And now that our boy Ben is a big Lifetime fitness instructor, gets guest passes. We hit in the tub at Lifetime. We catch up on life, just chatting. We're going to get drinks afterward. We legit had the same server that we had in Montauk when it was just a bro dude. You immediately knew that me and Jammer were just there to bro down. You guys got to fucking try this, man. Swear to God. You know, and you put it all off. So me and Jammer obviously already feeling great. Just have a drink. And then finally it's time to get down to fantasy football talk. Our fantasy football talk is print off the ESPN draft sheet. You highlight like 8 players that you like, and then you talk about it for 15 minutes, and then we're ready to go for the season. So we do this, and I shit you not, every single guy that Jammer has highlighted, I have highlighted. Like we're just connected. We're ready to go. We know exactly what the fuck the Squirrels are gonna do to take over the season. We got great keepers. And so we talked through this for, you know, whatever it was. And usually our draft plan is, okay, I like this guy, I like this guy, I like this guy, whatever. We get too drunk, we do something stupid, and it's inevitable. But this year, all we said was, we're going to get 2 guys. We're going to get Nick Chubb, and we're going to get Aaron Jones. That's all we said. I said, you do anything else you want. I'm not going to be involved. So you just get these 2 motherfuckers and we're all set. So fucking draft day comes around. I'm tuned in. I'm going to let Jammer do his thing. I even call him an hour in advance of the draft because I get the Snapchats, the tubs, the pool's filling up. Jammer's drinking by himself. I'm like, I'm already getting a little nervous, right? Like, oh, shit. this dude, what the fuck's this guy going to do? So I give him a call. He seems fine. We rehash the draft plan. Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones. Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones. He's like, yeah, Mikey. Yeah, baby. You know, I got this, right? I'm like, all right, sweet. We're set. We're set. Draft kicks off. I'm watching on my phone. First couple guys go through. Austin Eckler comes up. It's like 50, 55, 60, 65. Jammer bids like 69, and I'm like, oh fuck, what's this guy doing? Please, someone outbid us. Someone outbids us. I'm like, all right. That was my first like, Jam, what the fuck you doing? We talked about this, man. We're not getting off
the plan.
And he's like, all right, yeah. My bad. Christian McCaffrey comes up 1 pick later, 50, 60. He's not bidding. I'm like, all right, we're fine. Hit 70. Fucking Jammer bids the 73 or whatever it was. And I'm like, my God, kid, wait for it. When we get Christian McCaffrey. And that was the bundle.
That was top of the list. Don't pick Christian McCaffrey.
like this guy somehow played 16 games last year or whatever it was. There's no way. We're not getting the guy in the $75 range. You're getting Nick Chubb and Aaron Jones. And here we are. Top of the league, baby. Let's go.
Top of the league. Calling the code red.
So, but then he's like, even as the draft day progresses. So after that happens, I get a call from Jam. Oh, I'm sorry, man. You know, I'm sorry. What are we doing? I'll get this guy. I'm like, all right, Aaron Jones. We still want Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones comes and goes for like less than he was even projected to go for. So it's just a constant back and forth with Jeremy's like, oh yeah, my bad, my bad. Oh yeah, I got this. My bad, my bad. I got this. So all we wanted was to spend money and not be set with like five dudes who are all projected at like 10 points on our bench. And if you look at our bench, it's like six wide receivers all projected to get 10 points this week.
It's only wide receivers and one quarterback. It's
only wide receivers and fucking Russell Wilson. The other do not draft motherfucker on our list.
And Jay, I feel bad for Russ at the end.
So I'm like, all right, whatever. I was like, we have good keepers. We got Christian McCaffrey. We'll be fine. Get a voicemail from Jammer at like midnight. You know, it started like all melancholy, all sad. And then at the end, of course, he's like, no, we fucking got this, man. We're going to win this shit. And then I get a text at like 7 a.m. on Monday morning. Just, oh, I'm sorry, man. I got drunk with Tyler and Bino. but still mixed in with, hey, I think I like this team, though. I think we're going to do this. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. We got fucking Mike Williams on our team again. We got Jerry Jeudy and Russell Wilson somehow again. But here we are. I have no more complaints. We're at the apex.
In Jammer's defense, there was a lot going on at the draft. Pat was just saying things nonstop, and Tyler was typing everything Pat was saying into the chat, which we all found out like halfway through, and then that became really funny. And then that's when your random stuff was popping in, and the whole thing just shut down for a while with laughter. And, you know, yeah, we might have had a few drinks. Jammer was
the Tyler constant chat now makes a little bit more sense.
Well, that was the funniest part, because you would believe everything that he was typing was just Tyler being Tyler, but it was actually him verbatim typing what Pat was saying.
And the thing is, I was reading in Tyler voice and not Pat voice, so it really is a whole different dynamic when you do that.
Here we go.
Oh, God.
So what do you guys do when one of your running backs is on bye?
Well, we got three running backs, so you just
buys aren't a thing on the squirrels this year.
Oh, you do.
They just play all the games.
Okay. You got one in the flex. Got it.
And we got Puka now.
Well,
his name. I don't even know what his fucking name is. Puka.
Puka Nacua.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I do think you maybe owe Jam a little bit of a public apology right here, because clearly the strategy worked. Week one high score, $25 split two ways, $12.50 each.
Put it in the shares league.
We out you, baby.
Yeah, we out you.
Jammer bundle. I'm sorry. This is the best draft the squirrels have ever had, as seen by our whatever percent chance we have of making the playoffs, which will inevitably probably not happen, because we'll start Puka Nacua 7 out of 10 weeks.
Absolutely.
So you were at a wedding or what?
No, even worse. I was babysitting my kids while my wife went to a wedding.
But you were.
You're not allowed to say you babysit your kids, but we went to Milwaukee because Lauren had a wedding and Chris lives down there. It was a family wedding. So kids weren't invited to the wedding, though. So we went down to Milwaukee. They went to the wedding. I hung out with Willie B and Nora at Chris's house. So.
Were you not invited to the wedding? Did you?
I was invited, but again, the kids weren't. So I don't know. You got to do something with it. You should know this by now, right?
Some people get real babysitters. I don't know.
Never mind.
You live and you learn.
Yeah. It would have been more awkward if you weren't invited to the wedding for someone in the family.
Kids can't come, neither can that fucking Michael guy.
Well, this year's rapid fire questions are sponsored by ChatGPT, because I was too lazy to come up with any by my own. So I've asked ChatGPT to shoot off some here. So if they
suck, remember the last time we did rapid fire questions, I don't know, man. All right, bring them on. Let's go.
All right,
I struggle at this game.
Oh, I like this one. If you could time travel to any era, let's just go decade, past or future, where and when would you go and why?
It's a solid question. We're probably going like, I don't know, like I've always like we're hitting like the prehistoric probably. Walking with the dinosaurs type shit.
Well, they didn't exist, but yeah.
I would say 1969 when we walked on the moon, but that didn't happen either. 9/11, I would have loved to be there for that fake event.
Just traipsing through famous conspiracies throughout history.
I think it'd be fun to live in like the Wild West. I think I would choose like the whatever era that was. Was that like the 1820s or so?
I mean, like maybe like for a day. Like, you want to like live there? You want to like check it out? And
I just want to
like,
chill for a week.
What
maybe
would be your plan in the Wild West?
Yeah, I don't know. Go to a saloon and get drunk, I guess. Same thing we do now.
Play cards and throw your hand down and start shooting people.
You know, do that knife game where they go the knife between the fingers.
Yeah. Pace just lives in Westworld and does the same thing we do. I was going to say I'd be a pirate for a couple days, but like honestly, that would suck after a while.
All right, what's the weirdest food combination that you secretly enjoy? I know what mine is.
Breast milk in my mouth.
Oh, man, that's fucked up.
Breast milk and oatmeal?
That's not secret.
Like, this isn't a rapid-fire question. This is one you kind of got to think about, man. I don't know.
So, like, I like taking my mashed potatoes and corn and putting, like, during, like, Christmas or Thanksgiving meals and mixing them together with ketchup on top. That's mine.
You just put ketchup on everything. So it's like,
I know.
Yeah. It's you like got an advantage for this one.
You don't have anything like that?
Not really. Fucking saltine shit. Crackers in the shower. Is that a weird
That'll work.
You gotta water them down with that shower water dripping off your face.
But that's got a specific purpose, too. Best thing over here ever.
That's definitely an appropriate amount of fucked up.
All right, nailed it. Next question. Bring on ChatGPT.
Let's see. What else we have? These suck, man. ChatGPT. AI is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Sell your shares.
I don't know. If you could have any superpower for a day, what would it be?
I mean, it's got to be flying.
Why not just teleport?
Yeah, but then you're just teleporting. Where would you teleport to?
Wherever you were going to fly to.
You're just falling in the air, teleporting over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not flying to get to a destination. I'm flying because you're just like the act of flying.
Oh, you want to be free. You want to feel that freedom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Last one. Oh, I like this one. This one is it's not a rapid fire, but you can take your time. What's like a memorable or funny story from your past that always makes you laugh when you think about it? So say you meet like some new people and you got a
draft day.
You're going to tell like a funny story
draft
from
day 2023.
That'll be it going forward.
That is a good question.
It's
a lot of the stories that you have about your life that are funny, you don't really want to share with people. Right? Like, it's just like, my God, that was really fucking stupid. The one I share consistently is that we got a fucking suite to a Lynx playoff game for like $90. Because everyone loves that story. We went to a Lynx playoff game. We got a suite. It was like legit $100, and our bottle service for whatever we got was like $50. And John yelled, "Kick her in the pussy" for 30 minutes of the game.
During a timeout, like the Lynx players looked up at our suite and they're like,
"No, it's when they're shooting throws, free throws."
Shooting free throws.
And we kept singing like one of the songs I played over the loudspeaker, like through the timeout during the free throw. And the lady just fucking clanked it. So that's always a classic.
Kick her in the pussy. That's a good one.
Was that the same time when we invited those ladies up to our suite and Dempsey was wearing the orange Eau Claire jersey and they ripped the bumper sticker off of his chest hair?
Yeah, I think so. I think Dempsey has a photo of me and those ladies together.
That was all one day. Wow. Yeah, that's a really good one then.
Yeah. I mean, because you don't have to get into all the details when you tell that story.
No.
Depends who you're with. You know, you can make it PG, R-rated, whatever you want to do. It's got a lot of variables there.
That's such a good one.
Do you have a go-to, Jim?
Two dudes in a suite at a women's basketball game. They need us. If they go to game three, Jam, they need us. We're going to have to go back.
We're absolutely going if they make
it. WNBA is way too mainstream now, though. We're not getting the sweep for that cheap
anymore. No, definitely not. The W. I usually tell a dog pound-ish story. So I'll just say something like, after graduating, I lived in a halfway between frat life and real life house. And then I'll talk about how we'd play kickball, I'll say, in the backyard, or wiffle ball, and then how people would get selected. And just there's endless content for dog pound stories. And the rating can go up or down depending on the group, which is key with all the stories, I think.
Halfway between a frat house and a real life house, and also a halfway house. So.
Yeah. That very center of that Venn diagram.
Yeah.
Tenno's penthouse will always be one of my favorites. Like, what an interesting time of an adult life when your buddy can't sleep in a flooded basement, so you just sleep in a tent with him for 30 days.
Yeah, yep, that was a good, yep, see? All the content.
You had some guy who just cleaned your house at 4 in the morning. You had, like, housemaids, but it was just Pat at 4 in the morning on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. The Dear Party House letter.
The Dear
always,
Party House.
Always a classic.
You let those poor kids down.
Yeah.
The hot tub you had for 3 days.
The wasps that were in it, yeah. I buried a Hannah Montana clock there in the yard.
Should we go dig it up? Do you know where it is?
Mm-hmm. It's right in front of the stairs.
Nice. The neighbors going to... go ahead.
I was going to say, like, that should be one of your goals in your lifetime, Jam, is to go find that clock.
Oh, yeah, I love that. What are those? For sure. What are those archaeological dig?
Yeah.
Like when a city does capsule. It. Time capsules, yeah.
Yeah. Just wake up in 3 in the morning to Jammer digging in your front lawn.
And I'm playing Party in the USA while digging.
As I say, the neighbors going to the hotel on the weekend when they're like, oh, great. Honey, pack up the kids. They're here again.
They're back. I see the cars pulling up.
They're back. Doesn't anyone park in the garage there? There are 18 cars.
Good times. Well, you know, my favorite go-to story, if I'm trying to like tell a funny story, is usually when my buddy Gabe came and visited me, and we went to Shout House, and he ended up whipping his dick out in the middle of the Shout House floor doing the helicopter thing, and the piano players had to stop and into the microphone. They're like, dude, what the fuck? And then security came and dragged him away as his dick was out. Probably that.
You know what's a good story when I use that story to tell people and I wasn't even there?
That's probably my go-to.
That's such a good. I remember, and he had this like lost puppy look on his face when he was getting kicked out. Like, what is happening here?
What did I do? Yeah. Yeah.
Those are all the rapid fires I had. Anything else, guys?
Thank you. Thank
one thing
you.
That's annoying right now is that Strat's projected for more points than we are this week. Why does Strat always have a good team? Yeah, you suck.
Oh, he's gonna hear this. I don't have time to edit, so that's gonna go live. All right, thank you, Michael. We'll be right back. All right, thanks again, Michael Hennessy. Time for Peaks and Valleys, Jammer. I'll go first. I think we want to leave everyone on a really somber note, so we're gonna let you go last. My high of the week, just it's so nice to have football back, and the Cowboys started off with a 40-0 shellacking of that pussy-ass Giants squad. It was just beautiful, but more so just the appetizers that come with football being back.
Mm.
Just laying around, not feeling guilty about it on a Sunday. A little different with the baby, but, you know, we still managed. AG came over. We had a few drinks together, some food. It's just good to be back, betting some money, gambling. I'm still in Shares League, but I'll probably bust out this week as I go all in. And my low of the week, Jackie and I yesterday were going to go on our very first date since becoming parents. So Jude turned 2 months old today, and so yesterday was the first time we felt like, you know, okay with having her mom come over and babysit for a couple hours. Jackie and I were gonna go get some sushi at one of our favorite sushi restaurants, and looking forward to it all week. So excited. Jude had other ideas. She like out of nowhere yesterday, just started really, just different type of crying. I don't know how to explain it, but really crying and scared the shit out of us and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, long story short, we ended up not going to sushi. Her mom came over and drove all the way here for nothing because we were like, yeah, we can't leave. And then, so we just stayed home and did nothing last night. So I realized, you know, it sounds mean calling it my low, but my life is over. I'm never doing anything ever again. So. There will be no more dates. I was like, sorry, babe, this is it. But we'll maybe order, or we'll DoorDash something. We'll make it.
Oh, at least you could pivot into something hopefully okay.
Yeah, how about you?
Well, that was a ringing endorsement to having children at some point, ever.
It's totally worth it, but it is different.
Is it? Sorry. I'm sure it is.
This might be a new segment. Is it?
No, she is so adorable. You guys made a really cute kid. That's awesome.
Anyway, what are your P's and V's before you get in trouble?
Right, yeah. Oh man. I guess I'll start with the high. Sports Saturday. We just had a great little Minnesota sports day. Jane and I went to the Twins game. We started out. I took some classes at Lifetime in the morning, got my pump on, and then we went to the Twins game at 1. Excellent. Twins won on basically a walk-off triple. It was so sick.
Go twins.com.
That's right. Fucking loved that. Max Kepler just knocks this triple out. And then we came home to let Nelly out. So efficient. And then went right back on the same route that we took to go tailgate with the Dickensimes, Griffin Gretsch, Dempsey, Johnny and Aaron, all at Sturbs. We contemplated going to the game a little bit, but not everybody was prepared to sprint past security like we usually do to get in to go for games. So Simes and Casey went to the game. We all went to Ray J's, and then we went to Otter, and we just had a fucking awesome Saturday night. Hennessy stopped in, ripped some tabs. All around great day.
That's phenomenal. How was campus?
It was fun.
Lively.
It really was. Like, they're everywhere in Minneapolis. Dempsey called this out right away. The cool thing about Wisconsin stadiums, I hate that I said that, is that their sports stadiums are so far away from the cities that you can tailgate anywhere with them, like at Kansas City and everywhere else. But Minneapolis just continues to build shit over all the best tailgating spots. They're doing it with the Vikings. They're doing it with the Gophers. Thank God we have a little maroon and gold lots around there, but like Stub and Herbs is always quality, and that's just the best tailgating spot before a Gopher game. Not too expensive, everything's cash only, so figure it out. But we had some vodka Red Bulls, turn the clock back a little bit. It's always a good time.
And where'd you go at night? You did not go to the Dinky Town bars, or you did?
We did not go to the Dinky Town bars as much as me and Dempsey may have wanted to.
Those would have made for some good stories, yeah.
yep. Little Blarney, little college club. No, we went to Ray J's for all of the wings, and then we ended up at Otter. I think we were definitely gonna try to sing. I don't know if we did or not.
Is it still
those things end up?
Buffalo Wild Wings right there next to campus.
Yeah, you know, that super cultured.
I wish that was something
hometown
cooler.
Bar.
Yeah, that's
anything.
Anything. Yeah.
Like, that's even if Sally's moved to there, it would be cooler.
All right, and then the low, I know that I want to apologize to everyone. The reason we've mostly been delaying the podcast so long is Jammer's been grieving, but...
I'm still not really over it yet.
Are you crying right now?
This is why every time I talk about it, I like cry a little bit, which is so dumb. Like I'm don't know him, and I'm like,
Jesus,
oh, man.
You're gonna make me cry. Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett died, and he was just a gift to the world. My guy was born on Christmas Day, and his smile was radiant. His music, he wasn't the most talented guy. That didn't matter. He just brought you joy whenever he was, wherever he was around. His life was a beach. He's got his own tequila. He's got his own Margaritaville franchises, which is an international thing now. There's Margaritaville. retirement communities. He's got like six homes. He would fly his plane into literally fly his own plane into Montauk, touch down in Lake Montauk there, and everybody be like, oh, Jimmy's coming, because everybody knew what his plane looked like. His car ran on vegetable oil. He surfed and ditched planes just like everybody. It was, oh man, he was my idol.
Cheeseburger in paradise, paradise. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, man. I felt bad for you. I imagine that's how. I like that you texted me and you're like, "Is this how you felt when like Kobe died?" Because I was like, "That, that's the first thing I thought of." Is like, "Why is he taking this art?" It's like, ah, well, I was pretty sad when Kobe died. It is kind of weird when, but in your case, you actually met the guy, and that's cool, man. May he rest in peace. You know, the nice thing is you can continue to live that parrot life while he's gone. You know, you can.
That's right.
Continue to
just like he would have wanted.
Yes. All right, and normally we wrap up the podcast with the smartest 3 minutes in podcasts, but as you're probably all well aware, there's a writer's strike right now, and so where would we even get Jeopardy questions from? They're just showing reruns.
And we stand with the strikers.
We definitely kneel with the strikers, I believe.
That's right.
The correct thing to do, yes.
Ah, yes, thank you. Yeah, you're great call.
All right, Jim. It's good to be back. It's good to be seen.
This is fun. Good to see you. Love
it's
you.
It's good to see you, man. Yeah, hopefully same time next week.
Fingers crossed. And until, no barf this week.
No. Until then, you honk.
We drink.
Can't lose.
Lose.
Woo-hoo.
Oh,
have that should be.
Woo. No editing.
Later, bud.
See ya.